Dwight L. Moody was a famous evangelist. And when he was a young man, he was first starting out in his ministry. He got asked to officiate his very first funeral. So he thought, I'll do what Jesus did. So he searched through the four Gospels and he looked to see what Jesus did, and he realized something. Every funeral that Jesus attended, he broke up because death could not exist where Jesus was. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The other thing that was interesting is when Jesus healed people, he often used different methods of healing. But when Jesus raised people from the dead, he always did the same thing. He spoke to them. Why? Because they could hear him. Death is no barrier for our Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And Jesus wants today to bring you life to your brokenness, to your dead dreams, to your dead finances, your dead relationships. Jesus wants to come and bring life to them. So for today's sermon, we are going to camp into our gospel text, John 11. And what we read and what we know is this family consisted of a brother named Lazarus and two sisters, Mary and Martha. And we know from other texts that Jesus knew this family. They were friends. Jesus would often stay at their home, and they probably witnessed Jesus performing other miracles. They knew who Jesus was. So when their brother got sick, it made sense for the sisters to send out a message to Jesus. And this message said, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. Now, this message implies a couple things. First of all, it implies, Lord, the one you love. This says, Jesus, this is not just some ordinary person. This isn't the person on the street. This is the person in the other village. Jesus, this is your best friend. This is someone who you love, who you know. The second part that it implies is it implies urgency. Jesus, get on the first donkey and get on back here to Judea. That's what it implies. But it's interesting. Jesus waited for two more days. And after 2 days, he told his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples were worried. He said, Jesus, it's not safe for you to go there. It was a hot spot for Jesus. The religious leaders were already plotting to kill him. But church, what I want you to realize and to know that Jesus did not delay out of his own safety. Jesus delayed because God had a greater purpose in mind. So once he reaches Judea, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. And so what's important, there's something important about the 4 days, because what I learned in my research is the people at that time and that culture, they believed something about death. They believed that when you died, the soul would hover around the body for 3 days, hoping to rejoin the body. But after the third day, the soul would give up and think there's no way this is happening, and it would move on. And so everybody there believed that. And so they knew that 4 days, what 4 days meant. 4 days meant there is no hope. 4 days meant despair. Jesus, maybe if you had come and the second day or even the third day that Lazarus was dead, but the fourth day, it's too late, Jesus. And so both of his sisters came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, if you had only been here, Jesus, if you had only been here. Now, church, if we're honest, how many times do we say that phrase to God? How many times do we say, God, if you had only given me this job, God, if you had only healed me of this disease, God, if you had only contained this COVID-19 to Asia and didn't let it come across the ocean, we have our own ways of saying, God, if you had only done this. But this brings us to our first application. If you're at home and you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. Our first application is this: God's refusal to act in your way and in your timetable does not contradict the great evidence of his love for you. God loves you, period. The love of Jesus that he had for this family was never in question. There was never any doubt that Jesus loved this family. But the problem that we have, church, is we believe the lie that love must act immediately. We believe that if God loves us, he would act fast. He would act in my timetable. He would act when I need him to act. And that is false. God loves us, period. And that is true for us today in whatever circumstances that we are in, that we should know that God loves us despite the circumstances that we are in. When I was in my 20s and early 30s, I really struggled with feeling that God loved me because God wasn't answering me the way I wanted him to. And I saw other people that God was answering their prayers and he wasn't answering me in my timing, and I felt unloved. And that was false. And what I realized that there are so many times that God shows me his love for me, but the greatest evidence that he shows his love for me is what he did for us on the cross, that he sent Jesus to die a horrific death for us, for me. That is evidence enough. And for me, that is why I wear a cross necklace, because it's a symbol of that love. And so many times if I'm having a rough day or I'm feeling unloved or unlovable, I just naturally touch it and I remember, God loves me. God loves me, period. Our second application is this: having a relationship with Jesus, even a strong relationship, does not shield you from suffering. They were intimate with Jesus. They had a close relationship, but that did not protect them from their brother dying. And Matthew 5:45 says, "Rain falls on the just and the unjust." Church, because we live in a fallen, sinful world, we will experience pain. We will experience layoffs. We will experience cancer. We will experience infertility. We will experience the effects of COVID-19 because we live in a fallen, sinful world. But church, here is the good news. We do not have to walk alone. We have a God who walks alongside us intimately. In verse 35, Jesus wept. And what scholars believe why John included this verse was because it was in contrast to what the people believed at that time. The Greek belief that God was a distant God and he did not get involved in the lives of humans. But church, that's not our God, is it? Our God gets his hands dirty. Our God gets involved in our mess. So church, wherever you are right now, whatever trial you are walking in, I want you to really understand and really believe that you are not alone. God is walking alongside you. And that should make a difference in our trials. Our third application is this: Lazarus, the dead man, was wrapped in a cloth and linen, and he came out, and Jesus gave life to his body. Jesus spoke life to his dead bones. Just like God did at the beginning of creation, he breathed life to where there was none. Lazarus' resurrection had nothing to do with Lazarus. It was all God. And church, perhaps there is a broken, dead dream that you have that God is going to bring back to life. And he wants you to know that it's because of him that that's going to resurrect in your life. It's going to be nothing because of what you've done, but it's because of what God has done through you and in you. So my question to you, church, is what area in your life do you need God's resurrection breath? What area in your life do you need God to work good out of the bad? I ask you right now, give it to him. There is nothing too big and nothing too impossible for our God. A few months ago, my aunt and uncle came over for lunch, and they came in a little late, and they said, "We're a little late because we had a baptism at our church service." And they were extremely excited about this baptism. And they thought, that's great. Every baptism should be celebrated. But they said, no, there is something special, really special about this baptism. Our pastor today baptized a 92-year-old World War II veteran. I thought, wow, how exciting. Because George Barna research tells us that that is a very odd, because statistics tell us that only 23% of people come to know Jesus after the age of 18. And in fact, the older that you get, that percentage goes down. And I believe once you hit 70, it's then less than 1%. And I think it's so easy for us to look at things in the natural. And I think if that man was my grandpa or my dad, by the time he hit 80, I may have lost hope. I may have thought his heart is too bitter, is too hard. He may never know Jesus. But our God is a God of the impossibilities. So let that be an encouragement to you that nothing is too impossible for our God. Church, as we close this morning, I want to remind you of our passage in the New Testament that was read this morning. In Romans 8:11, it says, "The resurrection power lives in you. It says the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Church, are you a life giver? I think right now, more than any time, God is calling us to be his hands and feet to a world who desperately needs him right now. Church, right now, people are so afraid. They are so fearful. Some people are losing their jobs. Some people are sick right now. How can we be the body of Christ to them? How can we be life givers? I want you to think about that for a moment and maybe spend some time praying about it and asking God, God, how can I breathe life into the situation that seems so dead? As people are isolating themselves and some people are struggling with loneliness and depression, perhaps God wants you to call someone and encourage them. Perhaps God wants you to send them a card. Perhaps God wants you to do a drive-by and go get some groceries and just drop them on their porch and just run back to your car. How can we breathe life to those around us? This is a time where the church needs to raise up and be God's hands and feet to a world that needs us. So, church, let's pray. God, we thank you for this truth in your word. We thank you for this example in the story of Lazarus. We thank you that you are still in the habit of giving life to our brokenness, God. And so, God, we bring you our broken dreams and our broken hopes, and we lay them at your throne, at your feet, and we ask that through your power that you would breathe life into them. And when you do, God, we will be careful to give you the glory because we know that it will be nothing that we have done, but it will be because of your power working in us and through us. And we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.